And in analyzing sankhara further, I made an effort to explain to you how sankhara becomes dukkha, how sankhara becomes the cause of dukkha, how cessation of sankhara becomes the cessation of dukkha, and how the path leading to cessation of dukkha is the path leading to giving up of sankhara. Now, that was a bit involved discourse, and for beginners it's a bit too long to take all the four things together. Therefore, I decided today that we will deal with the four things at four different times, not all together, because it's so involved that the entire philosophy of Buddhism lies in the activities of sankhara. You are sankhara, master of sankhara, or we call it formations. What is a formation? Formation is the act of seeing. Formation is the act of hearing. Formation is the act of tasting. Formation, act of smelling. Formation, act of contact with the body. And formation, act of thinking. What the sixth sense bases you possess, what they perform, that performance is production of sankhara and nothing else. And formation is the English term given to sankhara. So I'll be using very often the word sankhara because that is closer or easier for you to understand than formations, because formation is something, a term used by a certain authority, but it is not, so to say, an accepted term by all of us. Something new to us, the formation. Therefore, we will use the word sankhara more often. Now, sankhara, I will explain to you, are nothing but the activities of six sense bases. What are you? If I have to analyze you and explain who you are nothing but the activities of the six sense bases. Nothing but that. That's the summary of yourself. If I say, what is this world? That is the world which your sankharas have created to each of you. There is a world around all of us. Who created that world? Is your eye that created that world? Is your ear that created that world? Is your nose that created that world? Is your tongue that created that world? Is your activity, bodily activity that created that world? And it is your thinking that created that world. Is there anything other than the activities of these six sense bases that has created the world? Is there anything in that world other than these activities, the six sense bases? Nothing. Therefore, when it comes to a question who you are a six sense base activities and nothing else. Then the question arises, if we are the six sense base activities, if we are searching for Nibbana, final everlasting peace, where does that peace lie? That peace lies in yourself, in the sankharas you produce. Therefore, the entire philosophy of Buddhism is involved with this production of sankhara. If we have created the world by producing sankharas, and if the philosophy of Buddhism says that this world which you have created is a fiction, a delusion, then who created that world? Your sankhara, your sense bases created that world. If I ask the question who you are, according to the philosophy of Buddhism, you are mind and matter. This mind and matter causes to create activities. This mind and matter causally creates activities, making use of your eye in seeing, making use of your nose in smelling, making use of your ear in hearing, making use of your tongue in taste, creating taste, making use of your body in contact, having contact, making use of your thinking process, thinking. That is what is normally going on. And that activity is not the activity of any person, any individual in you, but causally created. If in your development of the mind you have realized that, then brothers and sisters, you have finished your task in this world, because you have realized the truth that there are six sense bases which catch sense objects by the creation of a thought, you see, and we live in a world created by the six sense bases. The question that has to be asked by each of you is, who is creating this world? Who created this world? If you sensually speak according to your conscience, you have to say, I have created the world. But philosophy says, there is no I in you to create this world. There is the body and the mind, and the activity committed causally has created this situation. That is the correct answer. We, on the other hand, as worldlings, believe that there is somebody within us. The philosophy says that there is no one within you. If you say you saw something, it is an act of cause, a causal creation, nothing else. It's a cause and effect activity. Where I, as a worldling, says, I saw this. The difference between the reality and the delusion is that in this delusion which we have created, we have planted an individual in us as the author of all our activities. But in truth and in fact, there is no such individual that you commit the act of seeing, hearing, smelling and these six sense-based activities as a result of cause and effect. If we in our development of the mind realize that all our activities are causally created, that there is no being in us, it is this body and mind acting as cause and effect that creates this situation, then we have ultimately realized the truth. But the question is, isn't that the way you sensually feel about your activities? No. Then the other point that you have to bear in mind is, you are gifted with an eye to see, and gifted with the mental power to enable you to see by the creation of a thought. You are gifted an ear to hear, and that activity is done by the creation of a thought, mental power. So are the other sense-based activities. They catch objects. That's a physical reaction in the sense-based and the outside object, and subsequently the consciousness takes over the task of performing that act of seeing by the creation of thoughts through the mental factors. All those activities, one by one, from the time you catch the object to the sense base, up to the time you see or hear or smell or taste or contact or think, till that act is over, it's the mind that creates the entire situation. That is how we reasonably look at it and try to understand truthfully what is happening within us. But the fact remains, but still we have, as worldlings, the belief that there is somebody within us. Philosophy has clearly indicated that there is no person in you. And to prove that, ample evidence has been given and reasons are attributed for you to come to the reasonable conclusion that there is no being in you. You come to that conclusion that there is no being in you as a result of the development of your mind to a high degree, from which condition, from which state you can see through things and understand reality. But the average worldling, He has not developed his mind. He is merely led by what he experiences. Therefore, he comes to the conclusion that there is a being in him. If we ask the question, is it merely a conclusion, or is there something actually happening within you to create that situation in you? There is something happening. What is it that is happening? This consciousness that creates the thought for you to perform the activity of the sense base, at the same time creates a delusion in you. And that is the cause for this wrong conclusion you have arrived at. What is the delusion this consciousness creates? The consciousness creates a thought to enable you to see. Consciousness creates a thought to enable you to hear. Consciousness creates a thought to enable you to smell. Consciousness creates a thought to enable you to experience a taste. Consciousness creates a thought to enable you to experience a contact. Consciousness creates a thought to enable you to think. Is that the only thing the consciousness does? While it creates the thought for you to perform the act of the sense base, it also creates a delusion in your mind by making use of the very activity in the creation of thought. The very components that has given to you the power to think, you make use of those components like contact, like feeling, like perception, like volition. Those very things have been made use of by the consciousness to create in you that there is a being who is performing these activities. We in our developed mind can now understand that situation clearly. But think of the average worldling. Who hasn't the capacity to realize this fact, to understand this delusion that is created by the consciousness? It's Buddha who pointed that out to us. And we having developed our mind to a certain condition, certain state, to now begin to see that that is the truth. That the delusion is created by the consciousness to enable you to come to the conclusion that there is a being in you. And the average man believes in that. He lives in that belief. All his activities on that belief that there is a being in him. He sees as having gone through that experience by somebody in authority within him. He hears as if it be done by somebody within him. He smells as if it is done by somebody within him. He also experiences other sense-based activities as if somebody within him is doing that. Who created that? This consciousness has created that. That aspect is very clearly shown by Buddha in the very act of the creation of the thought to enable you to perform these activities. The very components of that thought are made use of by the consciousness to create this false impression in you, that there is a being in you. It is just not an imaginary thing. There is a purposeful creation of a situation like that in your mind, by the consciousness. And it is only a developed mind that can understand that situation clearly. So the result is that we come to a wrong conclusion, the belief, sakkāya ditti. And what is that sakkāya ditti? Your body becomes the owner of that being. Around this body, that there is the feeler, there is the person who perceives, and there is the person who commits the act. And the consciousness is always there in that activity. Imagine the situation. And we have lived in this false belief, always thinking that all the activities committed by the six sense bases are committed by this being. He is responsible. But the developed mind can see that is completely a deception created in us. The average worldling is ignorant of that situation. It's only when he pursues Buddhism or Buddhist philosophy that he himself begins to realize, this is true, that there is no such being in us, but there is a delusion created by the mind, or want to be deluded, or want to be misled, coming to the conclusion that there is somebody within you. We must not think of the Arahant. The Arahant has reached the stage of clear identity of the situation. But we must think of the average individual who has not developed his mind. Therefore, delusion takes a vital place, a vital role in his mind, in misleading him completely to come to the conclusion that there is a being in him. And what does he do? When he sees something, the sensation in the mental activity, in the five mental factors, enables you to identify that object which has caught your eye as something to your liking or not to your liking. That is just the quality of the object that has caught your eye. But who is the person who pursues that further and try to enjoy what is pleasant or create an aversion to what is unpleasant? It is this imaginary person who is supposed to be responsible for the act of seeing. Otherwise you would have not pursued that act, that aspect further. You would have just seen with your eye, and that activity is causally created. The performance of the sense-based activity as cause and effect is up to the extent of enabling you to perform the act of the sense-based. Like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, thinking, that's all. Who pursues the other aspect? The aspect that produces a situation where you pursue something pleasant and create an attachment, where you pursue something unpleasant and create an aversion. Who does that? The sense-based activity does not perform that act. For the consciousness is a party to it, that we agree, because it's a mental condition. But who pursues that act? That one would ask the question whether that extra activity on our part, in perceiving an experience to that extent, is it part and parcel of the act of seeing? Is it part and parcel of the act of hearing? Is it part and parcel of the act of smelling? Is it part and parcel of the act of tasting? Is it part and parcel of the act of contacting? Is it part and parcel of the act of thinking? No. It is something completely different. If it was part and parcel of the act of seeing, smelling, tasting, contacting, thinking, you will never be able to stop that activity with any effort on your part. If you could not have stopped that further activity by an effort on your part, you would have never gained your salvation. You would have been subject to these constant births, you see, and living birth after birth, birth after birth, birth after birth in this cycle of births and deaths. Because it has been done willfully by something, by some force within you, with an extra activity on your part, more than what is expected to be conveyed to you by the consciousness in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, that sort of thing, that you are in a position to stop that further activity, so that you only confine your activity of the sense based to only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. In doing that, there is no harm done to you. In doing that aspect of it, because the spontaneous activity of the mind, and that is a performance, the spontaneous activity of the mind, there is no harm done to you in seeing, in smelling, in tasting, in contacting, in thinking. No harm done to you. It is this addition that you have committed in the way of pursuing the experience to a bitter end. If it is something pleasant to enjoy that pleasant sensation, if it is something which you did not like to create an aversion to that sensation, that has led you to this misery. Who did that? Not the act of seeing. Who did that? Not the act of hearing. Who did that? Not the act of smelling. Who did that? Not the act of tasting. Who did that? Not the act of contacting. Who did that? Not the act of thinking. No. They have finished their task. In creating the five mental factors, the thought has been created by the consciousness, and the consciousness has performed this task in enabling you to experience things through the six sense basis. On the other hand, for the continuity in this life, the consciousness does something more than that. And the consciousness is meant for the continuity of this in this world and not for discontinuity. Therefore, its contribution to the continuity of this world is to create this imaginary person in you. Let us go further then. This imaginary person has created this desire in you. What did desire do? Ask that question. Right? We have committed ourselves in creating desire. What did desire do to you? What it did was create the grasping. Grasping means they are, brothers and sisters, clinging to an experience you have gone through in the way of experience of five grasping groups as a being. To such an extent that you expected this being to be becoming always. Not to end his existence with this birth. But he would continue to exist in this world along with you with this thought, thinking process, becoming. And the becoming that has led to the rebirth. If one would ask the question, what is the cause of your suffering? The cause of your suffering is rebirth. What are you going to do now here? Meditate, develop your mind and try to stop this rebirth. That is what you are aiming at. Stop the rebirth. If you are born again anywhere, except of course the five worlds, so-called Suddhavas, in those worlds of course there is no coming back. You are born there not as a result of a karma. We are born there as a result of the developed mind for you to complete the task of attainment. In that birth there is no coming back. In any other birth, whether in the Brahma world or in the Deva world or in the human world, animal world or any other world, you are continuing the cycle of births. And when you are continuing that cycle of births, you are subject to this affliction, this suffering. Therefore, our object in pursuing this philosophy is to stop further births, which results in not subjecting yourself to suffering. Then ask the question, who created this birth? Desire created that birth for you. Who is the creator of desire? Then the answer you can give is, not the realistic performance of the sense base that has created this desire. If the realistic performance of the sense base did create a desire like that, then there is no possibility of your seeking your lasting peace in Nibbana. Because that is part and parcel of this activity of the six sense bases. And you will be subject to that activity and the result will be you will be continuing to exist birth after birth. It is your foolish activity in believing an author or creating an author for the six sense based activities as the person responsible in performing those tasks. It is a false belief which you have clung to, which you have grasped so hard, that has created this being in you. And you not only stop your activity in experiencing something through a sense base, but you went further, or made this so-called being to go further to enjoy what is present, or to create a distaste towards what is unpleasant. And it is these two creations, one of these two creations that supported this desire. Therefore, desire is something which you have brought about in yourself as a result of your foolish activity, in doing something which you should not do, in not realizing that there is a delusion created by the mind misleading you. And it is the realistic knowledge of Dhamma that will make you understand this delusion that has been created by the consciousness. Therefore, all worldlings are subject to this delusion. There is no escape for them so long as they believe in this delusion. It's a great being like a Buddha who appears in the world periodically, who points out this delusion to us. Then one would ask the question, for instance, if we believe in a delusion, we continue our birth in this world. If we don't believe in a delusion like that, then there is no purpose. We have finished our work. We have seen, it has arisen and passed away. We have heard, it has arisen and passed away. We have smelled, it has arisen and passed away. We have tasted, it has arisen and passed away. We have contacted, it has arisen and passed away. We have thought, we have created thought, the thought has arose and passed away. That's all. In that activity there is no creation of desire. But in that desire, we realistically experience something through a sense base, it arose and passed away, that's the end of it. The creation of the design, trying to pursue a sensation to the bitter end of enjoying the presentness in that. Present sensation pursued to create an attachment to that sensation. Unpresent sensation pursued to create an aversion to that feeling. These unnecessary things that you have committed, which you are used to commit, that has led you to this misery of living in misery, in trouble, in suffering. And you are ignorant of it. Your ignorance has led you to lead this life, this 11 links in the dependent origination. In ignorance you commit sankhara, formation. That is the activity of the sixth sense bases. In committing those acts or activities of the sixth sense bases, you naturally came to know that the object that has attracted in the attract to the sense bases is to your liking or not to your liking, that's all. Therefore there you have finished that act of seeing, finished the act of hearing. The activity by the sense bases are concerned is over with the creation of the thought, and then you experience something through the sense base. On the other hand, for the worldling who leads a worldly life, he has been misled to create a being in you, in him. He experiences sense based activities and he pursues what is pleasant for his enjoyment. And he lives in always expectation of pleasant things. When an unpleasant incident occurs, he gets disturbed and create a displeasure about that, aversion about that, because he always expects something pleasant. Buddha says the human being feels. He feels what is good, he feels what is bad. That is brought about by his mental factor feeling. That is part and part of the thoughts you create to perform the act of the sense bases. But the further development from there onwards, this person's activity, this individual whom you have planted in yourself, he acts further. After it's all one mass of thoughts and nothing else, he thinks, that's all. Even enjoying a present sensation is creation of a thought. Even creating aversion is also creation of a thought, nothing else. You create thoughts and you live in those thoughts. Unpresent is felt in the thought you have created. Present is also felt in the thought you have created. You live in thoughts, that's all. But what has happened to you? You lived in a thought and believed in that thought, and that belief has made you to thirst for continuity in this world, and that continuity has created the birth for you. Whereas on the other hand, if you realistically perform your activities with the sense bases, you would have just only seen with your eyes, that's all, heard with your ears, that's all, smelled with your nose, that is all, tasted with your tongue, that is all, contacted with your body, that is all, and create a thought in your mind, that is all. All the other activities like links created by passa, vedana, Tanha, Upadana, Baba, Jati, all those are substitute creations as a result of the foolish activity. I would not say foolish, the word foolish is too harsh a term to be used, because you have been misled completely by consciousness, and that's the worldly way of existence. I always emphasize the fact that the consciousness within you is not a power for you to maintain in your attainment. That also has to be abandoned if you are going to attain. Attain what? Attain the final salvation. Therefore, it's clear indication that that is also a power that helps you to maintain yourself in the worldly way. So is your body. That is why Buddha says, even in your attainment, do not lose your mindfulness. Be always on your guard, because there is always a possibility, if you are careless, for you to slip. Of course, a slip like that would not cause you much harm, but constantly slipping down, slipping down, slipping down, ultimately may lead you to create something really unpleasant and bad and not helpful for your final liberation. Now let us go back again to this suffering. As I indicated to you, the six sense bases are the source of your suffering. Eye is the source of your suffering. The ear is the source of your suffering. The nose is a source of your suffering. The tongue is a source of your suffering. The body is a source of your suffering. Thinking is also a source of your suffering. Sense-based activities are the sources for your suffering. Why? Because these activities lead you to the creation of desire. That desire leads you to have a firm hold on this imaginary being as a being existing in you, grasping. And this being is always anxious to continue, become, 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 become. And that attitude of mind creates the birth for you. Wherever you may be born, you will be subject to suffering. There is no two words about it. Therefore, birth is the cause for your suffering. Then you ask the question clearly. If there is a being in you as you imagine, then there is a sufferer. There is a sufferer then. But if there is no being in you, there is no suffering. If there is no being in you, there is no person owning this suffering. That is why Buddha says it is to be admitted that there is suffering, but there is no person who is suffering. Who created the person? You created the person. It's a fictitious, imaginary person you have created. And this activity of the body and the mind, you have made it to be a being's activity, and the effect of that activity is suffering. You have put all that onto your head and you are suffering as a result, when in fact and in truth that there is no being in you. You are only body and mind and nothing else. The best example I can give you is, there are people who practice mesmerism or activities which can control the mind of another person. In such instances, there have been occasions when, of course, whatever the master says, the person subject to that activity, he fully believes. He takes a pencil and makes that person believe, here I am holding a red hot iron and I am going to burn you now. And he brings the pencil close to his body. You see this man subject to this activity, raising cries of pain, I'm pain, 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 I'm burning. What is it that has created that realistic aspect in him of burning? The belief. He believed that he's been burnt, when in truth it is not so. I give an example to you again. You walk along the road, a footpath, at about 6 or 7 p.m. dusk time. You just can see if you had no light in your hand. And you see a rope across the road. The light is not sufficient for you to realistically understand what that object is, but it had the shape of a snake. And you started crying, snake, 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 snake. People all got together armed with clubs. You are not at the scene. You have run away from the scene and you are still crying that I saw a snake and he was about to sting me. You may go and tell that person after seeing that rope, describe the entire thing very vividly and say it is a rope and not a snake that you saw. No, no, I saw a snake. With my eyes saw the snake across the road. How do you say that it is not a snake? Come. Until he sees himself the rope, you can never convince him that he has not seen a snake. In the same way, brothers and sisters, now you are developing your mind to a degree. When you create an ability in you to see the truth, to see the realistic rope across the road, and then you know that it is a rope, and you believe, yes, it is a rope, I made a mistake. How much of things I may say convincingly about this? When you do not have that ability in your mind, developed mind, transcendent mind, to realistically understand the true nature of things, any amount of descriptions given by me will not convince you that there is no being in you. And what you are doing now is meditation. What are you doing in this meditation? Developing your mind to that degree of, to create that ability to realistically understand the true nature of things. That is the essential thing. That is the secret of this. And how do you do that? Develop your mind to a higher degree, transcend it to a higher degree when it has the capacity to see through a thing. What you experience now is what is found on the surface. You accept them. Yes, I see that is there. Who says that it is not there? But when you have transcended to the mind to a high degree, we say that there is nothing permanent there. Everything is subject to change. But only thing is the eye has that capacity to make you see that change. Therefore, you are merely led by the eye, which is a worldly object for you to continue in the world. Your development in your mind make you realize that there is impermanence in everything. And when you see an object, you will just not be led by what is seen from outside. You will realistically understand the true nature of that object, that it is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and does not continue to exist. We could still even challenge that, but for the fact that all the scientists in the world, in the modern world, they have proved to the hilt that what Buddha said, that everything is in this world is constantly changing, has been accepted now as a realistic truth, as a truth that can be convincingly proved through science. Therefore, when I say that, when the dependent origination says that ignorance has led you to commit acts through your six sense bases in the way of sankhara, you have committed those acts with the false belief that they have been committed by you. And it is this false belief that has made you to create this defilement of desire in you. And it is this desire that has led you to continue to exist in this world. And it is this existence in the world, birth after birth, that is the cause for your misery. Now what you are doing is you are developing your mind to realistically understand the true nature of things. Thereby, not to pursue the line of action that has up to date promoted the desire in you. The four foundations of mindfulness says, don't pursue this unnecessary activity of pursuing pleasure, creating aversion to what is unpleasant. That is the thing that led to the creation of desire. Now you are trying that now. You are practicing that development in you. And when you go on practicing that development in you, you reach a stage that you only will be satisfied with your eyes having seen something and no more, you will never think about it. You also will perform the other activities, the six sense bases, and stop all your further activity beyond experience in the object, that's all. Then what happens? Desire is not faith. Desire is not a quality of the mind. It is something added by you as an addition. And you maintain it as a habit. Now you do not pursue the habit, therefore what happens is desire must fade away. If desire fades away, then you are liberated. It is the desire that leads you from birth to leave this worldly life. Get rid of desire.